I'm excited to introduce a friend of mine today and of some of you know. Brandon, why don't you come up? Brandon Risch is going to be preaching today. Now, this was pre-planned. Last week, Brett Rodenbeck shared a phenomenal message on about 30 minutes notice, and I'm so thankful for that. Yeah. And one of the things I mentioned, being out, being hurt this past week, the church blessed me with your prayers. You reached out to me, you encouraged me, and it meant so much. And it was a reminder to me, part of my calling vocationally as a pastor is I get to pray for you and reach out and encourage regularly. It was such a blessing to be on the other end of that. It meant so much. So thank you. And so I say that in introduction of Brandon because I'm going to go sit down. Now, this one was pre-planned about months ago, but I build these times in when we have someone either from outside of our church, within our church to preach, because it is important for your pastor to have pastors in his life. And Brandon is one of those for me. And it's important for your preacher to sit under solid preaching. And so I was blessed in the first service to be able to sit right there with my daughter, Hadley. We were both taking notes and listening to a message that I wasn't responsible for preparing or preaching. And that's a huge blessing for me. And so, as you know, we have different people come in and speak from time to time. Brandon, some of you know, he was here last July when I was on sabbatical, served as the director of family ministries at Pine Hills Church, our sending church, where I was on staff 11 years ago now before we planted here. And, you know, for a while, we were Pine Hills, Kendallville, and now Fairview Fellowship, but the family, it's like, you know, if you, some of you, you get married, you may change part of your name, but the DNA, the culture, the values are still there. And so we have a great friendship, but our churches have a relationship as well. And so I always love being able to come back and welcome any of our friends, former staff, and just brothers and sisters in Christ from Pine Hills. And so, yeah, Director of Family Ministries, which is over kids all the way, middle school and high school, oversees the different leaders and youth pastors in those ministries. And I think your family's here, Candace and Ethan, Brevin, and Ella's no-go today, I think. But your family's here, and so welcome. You came there. Somewhere, where you go? There we go. Hey, guys. It's lights are kind of bright. I'm glad you're here. I'm going to hand this mic over to him, and I'm excited to listen to this message. Again, would you welcome Brandon Risch today?
Thank you so much. It's great to be back, and I just really feel like this is such a sweet church. You got an awesome, faithful pastor in Mark and his family. And so, as Mark mentioned, I'm family director at Pine Hills, and not only am I a family director, but I also actually love my family. I love spending time with my family, with my wife Candace, three kids, Ella, Ethan, and Brevin, especially when we go on vacation. And we're at the age now, as Mark mentioned, he's 42 years old. I'm 44 years old, and so our kids are a little bit older, which means we can go on a date night without having a babysitter. That's a big deal. Yeah, amen. Getting a lot of hallelujahs here. And so we were on vacation, this one particular vacation where it was a rainy day. My wife and I were going to go on a date night, so we went to the movie theaters. And we were going to see this one. I can't even remember what the movie was, but it was an action-packed, like edge of your seat, nail-biting thriller of a movie. And so we punch in the address to the theater and the phone GPS. We're heading there. We're on time. We're heading to the right theater. We pay for the right tickets. We go into the right room. But as the movie begins, something is wrong. Because what was supposed to be this action-packed, edge of your seat, nail-biting thriller of a movie started off with this really wimpy scene of some people singing, like some kind of musical or something going on. And within seconds, I turned to my wife, and I'm like, man, are we in the right movie here? Like, what's going on? So we quietly make our way outside the door. We look at the title above, and sure enough, it's the title of the movie. I'm like, this can't be right. So we're just super confused. And within minutes, more people start filing out of the room, and we all start to congregate together, and we're all asking the same question. Are we at the right movie? And finally find some employees nearby. We asked them, and sure enough, they had played the wrong movie. And so they restarted with the right movie, and we all made our way back into the room and laughing as we found our seat. I share that story because I believe many of us find ourselves watching the movie of our lives unfold, saying something very similar. This can't be the right movie. this is not what I signed up for. This is not how life is supposed to work. And unlike my movie experience I just shared, it's often not funny when it relates to the actual events of our lives. Maybe you're working at a job you didn't see yourself in. Maybe you're living in a neighborhood that has some very challenging neighbors. Maybe you're receiving a diagnosis from the doctor that you didn't want to be true. Maybe it was some type of delay in your life, some type of rejection, obstacle, or unexpected circumstance. But the movie of your life being played out was much different in your mind than what you're seeing played out today. And you may feel like you're starting to feel boxed in, maybe stuck. Maybe it's like, I don't even know if God can use me right now because of my circumstances that I find myself in. And so as we continue and wrap up this series of Unstoppable today, I just want to encourage you to not buy the lie of the enemy who would want you to believe that your life is somehow boxed in right now, or that the church is somehow boxed in. Because we got to remember, like, Jesus obliterated that box when he went to the cross. And he defeated the enemy for you and for me. And therefore, nothing can stop his plans. That's why Job was able to say with absolute confidence, I know that you can do anything, and no plan of yours can be thwarted, which is just a fancy word of saying cannot be stopped. Why? Because we serve an unstoppable God. That's why. And God has some plans in mind. He has a mission in mind. And that mission includes you and me. That's why after Jesus' life, death, burial, resurrection, before he ascends to the Father, he gave us what is known as the Great Commission out of Matthew chapter 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. He shares something very similar in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 that you covered early on in this series, that we are to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Witnesses of Jesus, witnesses of his grace upon our life. And so this is what our lives are to look like as followers of Jesus. We are to spread this good news of Jesus. We are to teach others about his kingdom ways with his heart on this planet. And so let me ask you a question, like, how's that going? It is what I just read, is that happening in your life? Are you growing more like Jesus, and are you helping others to do the same? And if not, what kind of obstacle or what kind of excuse is starting to get in the way? What's hindering you from spreading this message and this end of this king and this kingdom on this planet? You know, maybe it's that we are lacking trusting in God, that he is still at work just like he was in the book of Acts. Or maybe we're failing to believe that God is still at work even though I can't see it. Even if it includes that job that you're in, or that neighborhood, or that diagnosis, or that circumstance. But maybe, just maybe, God has us right where he wants us. Maybe he's just at the point where he's about to do something great in you and through you. But do we trust him in that? You know, we serve an unstoppable God that created an unstoppable church with an unstoppable mission. And this is never more clear than what we see in the very last chapter of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28. We're going to spend just some moments talking about the last two verses of this particular book. And before we jump into those verses, let me just share with you the context, the situation in which this faithful follower of Jesus by the name of Paul, where he finds himself in. Okay, so Paul, as I'm sure you've talked about already throughout the series, later in the book of Acts, he's arrested in Jerusalem. And the reason why he's arrested is because he's living out what Jesus called him to live out, to spread the news of the good news of Jesus Christ, to share his kingdom ways through his word. And so some people who hated Paul and what he was teaching began to accuse him of that and accuse him of other things that were false. And so he ends up in prison for 2 years in Caesarea, in which Paul then exercises his rights as a Roman citizen and appealed his case directly to Caesar. And because of this, then the Roman governor handed Paul over to a centurion named Julius. And then they take, by ship, they travel to Italy, to Rome, in order to await the trial. And his journey was pretty rough. If you read about it in Acts chapter 27, Acts chapter 28, But by the time we reach the very end of the book of Acts, now Paul has arrived in Rome. And this is what it says in verses 30 through 31. It says, Paul stayed 2 whole years in his own rented house, and he welcomed all who visited him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So Paul is spending 2 full years in Rome. He's under house arrest. We know that by, if you've got your Bibles open, you'll see that in verse 16, where it says, when we entered Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with the soldier who guarded him. So Paul has some freedoms, but this is not like this rented house is like some cute and cozy Airbnb with a great window view, okay? Like he's under house arrest. He is chained to a soldier. Usually it was somewhere between 4 to 5 hours of being on duty, and then another soldier would come and chain himself to Paul. And so he was under guard 24 hours a day. All right, every day he's under guard. This is not, he has some freedoms. People that come to him are friends. He's able to interact with them, but he is still chained to a soldier. And you would think that at this point, if you know anything about Paul's life, and now he ends up arriving in Rome, you would think, man, this has got to be really discouraging. Everything that Paul has gone through. If you're not familiar with Paul's life, just listen to this account he gives of his own life in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. He talks about how he's been in prison. He's experienced beatings. Many times he was near death. Verse 24, he says, 5 times I received the 40 lashes minus one from the Jews. That's a lot of lashes right there. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea on frequent journeys. I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, and dangers among false brothers. Toil and hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, cold and without clothing. Not to mention other things, there's the daily pressure on me, my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? And so Paul's been through some things. He's been through a lot. He's been in prison, shipwrecked, persecuted, often lacking resources. And yet, what does the text that we're looking at today say? It says in verse 31, what do we find him doing? He's still proclaiming the kingdom of God, teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. How did Paul stay so locked in with the Lord? Well, he trusted in this unstoppable God, and he had an unshakable hope. If you were to look at verse 20, he says in the middle of verse 20, in fact, it is for the hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain. You see, he had an unshakable hope in an unstoppable God. And because of this unshakable hope, he was able to shake off anything that could get in his way, anything that could hinder him from further proclaiming this gospel message and the message of the kingdom of God. He didn't allow his circumstances to stop him. Here's what we can learn from Paul, that we can take any kind of obstacle in our life and turn it into opportunity for the kingdom of God. Take obstacles as opportunity for the kingdom of God. And let me just point out just a few things of what Paul did with his circumstance and turned it into an opportunity. One was he was able to take the opportunity to witness. There were so many opportunities that Paul had throughout his life to witness of Jesus and his grace upon his life. Oftentimes, we are given on a daily basis many opportunities to witness for Jesus. But haven't you noticed that it's often in the most inconvenient times? Often very uncomfortable times. It may even cost you something to witness for Jesus and what he's done in your life. But Paul had all kinds of opportunities. Even in this passage here, we see that Paul had the opportunity to witness to the Roman Jews. If you look at verse 23 through 24, It says, after arranging a day with him, many came to his at his lodging, and from, listen to this, from dawn to dusk, he expounded and testified about the kingdom of God. And y'all think we preach a long time. All right, look at that. From dawn to dusk, he is expounding and testifying about the kingdom of God. He tried to persuade them about Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets. Some were persuaded by what he said, but others did not believe. And so he was witnessing to these Roman Jews. He was also witnessing, no doubt, about to the people that were chained to him, the soldiers who were keeping close watch over Paul. Not only as he was sharing the gospel with others that would come into his sphere of influence there, but also I'm sure he proclaimed the gospel to them. And during this time, he did not waste opportunity. Think about this. One of the books that Paul wrote while he was chained up during this 2-year period was to the book was to a man by the name of Philemon. And in that book of Philemon in the New Testament, you can read about it for yourself. There's a man by the name of Onesimus who is a runaway slave, a runaway from one of Paul's good friends, and he's gotten into some trouble, and he ends up where Paul is at. And Paul is able to share the good news with Onesimus. He comes to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. He's being discipled by Paul. And then Paul sends him back with a letter, the letter of Philemon to Philemon, his friend. And he's like, I want you to take this guy back, no longer as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. It's a beautiful story of redemption and reconciliation. And that happened during Paul's time there in Rome as well. So Paul was not wasting any opportunity to turn this obstacle into a witnessing opportunity. And so let me ask you, what obstacle can you turn into a witnessing opportunity even this week? Last Wednesday, I spent some time with our youth group on Wednesday night. It was senior night, and we had all the seniors up on the platform and their youth leaders asking questions about what they've learned over the last 4 years, what their experience was like, what would you share with the underclassmen? And I remember a couple of our teenagers sharing with the underclassmen of what they wish they would have done more of when they were in high school. And one of the things that kept coming up was, I wish I would have witnessed more. Like, I had opportunity, you know, at the lunch table, in class, on the ball field. I had opportunity to share more about Jesus, and I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have taken that opportunity. Amen, that's right. There are opportunities all around us. Are we going to step into those opportunities? Paul even turned his situation that he had into the opportunity to spur on the faith of others. Paul might have been chained up, but the word of God was not chained. You see that he's still proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus. May this encourage you as you consider the word of God and how powerful the word of God is and how nothing can stop the word of God. Paul even says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, he says, and because I preach this good news, I'm suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. And why can't it be chained? Because it's God's word. Isaiah 55:11, God says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to be empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Jesus even says in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And Paul knew that. Paul knew that, and so Paul does not waste any time under house arrest. Is during this time that Paul wrote many of the books in the Bible, in the New Testament that you have even in your hands right now. He wrote, during this time, he wrote Ephesians, he wrote Philippians, he wrote Colossians, he wrote Philemon. He wrote all that while he was under house arrest. And even later on in his second imprisonment, many believe that he wrote then 2 Timothy while he was in prison while waiting his execution. So Paul was taking this obstacle and turning it into an opportunity. What obstacle can you turn into an opportunity to really spur on others through the word of God? At Pine Hills, last couple weeks, we've been in this generosity series and talking about how everything belongs to God. None of it belongs to us. We just steward what God has given to us. our resources, our money, all of it. And God's word, as it was being preached and proclaimed, was beginning to stir the hearts of many people within Pine Hills. And one person ended up, by their actions, spurring on my faith just recently. So just over a week ago, there's a man that came to me. I've only interacted with him probably a handful of times. But he was like, "Hey, can you meet me at my house at this time? I have something for you." Now, you can take that how you want. It could be very terrifying. Like, I don't know you that well. Like, should I make it? Should I go out there or not? Or does he really have something for me? I don't know. I make my way out to this man's house. And before I get to the house, let me just explain this. Over the years that my wife and I have been married, we've been married 20 years now, we've always paid for vehicles in cash. Now, that usually comes with not driving a vehicle that you so desire, okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, we've driven some beaters and some things that a lot of high mileage on them. So, praise God, we pay for them in cash, but it's usually not vehicles we would like to drive. But my wife is known for many years that my ultimate dream vehicle, which I'm just content in driving whatever, but my ultimate dream vehicle would be to drive a Jeep Wrangler, okay? That rugged vehicle, it's just a beautiful vehicle. And I was like, man, that'd be so cool, but they're crazy expensive. So, like, you know, get that out of my head. So I arrived to this man's house, and outside of his house is this beautiful 2021 Jeep Wrangler white Rubicon. And I pull up to his house, and he's like, "Hey, Brandon." I was like, "Hey, man." He's like, "You want to go for a ride?" And I was like, "Yeah, that would be awesome." Hands me the keys, and he says, I want you to go ahead and drive, because I want you to get used to your new vehicle. This is yours." And I'm like, "No way, man." He's like, "Yes." He's like, "Yes way." And I'm like, "No, seriously, please don't play with me." Like, he found out this is my dream vehicle. He said, "I paid for it in cash. I'm giving it to you. Enjoy. You can do what you want with it." And I just start weeping, man. I'm like weeping. I'm like, "No way." I think I gave him a hug like 10 times. And we got in the vehicle, and we're driving. I'm driving it, and I'm crying. And he's like, "Are you enjoying the day?" I'm like, "Yeah, this is." I was like, "Are you serious? Do you want to take this back?" "No, it's yours. I don't want to see it again." I'm like, "Okay, you know." And I just, man, I felt so loved and seen by the Lord. I know it's just a vehicle, right? It's just a vehicle, and you know, that thing could be wrecked tomorrow. Hopefully, it doesn't happen, but. And you know, but I would still feel like the love of the Lord and the way he used that. And this just spurred on my faith in the Lord. And so then I'm like, "Well, we got an extra vehicle now." And so we go to my family, and we're like, "Let's start praying about who are we going to give this vehicle to." And we've narrowed it down to a couple of families, and we're praying through it. And more than likely, we'll give away a vehicle this week or next. And it's just this spurring one another on. This man was spurred on by what he was hearing being preached by the word of God. The Apostle Paul was spurring on others through books like Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Philemon that we read today, and that spur us on closer to Christ and to be on mission with him and with in his ways with his heart. And this is what God's word does in our life. But we can take those obstacles and turn them into opportunities. And then lastly, what Paul does with this circumstance that he is in is he takes it as an opportunity to know Jesus deeper and fuller and richer. Notice what he is most concerned about in these 2 years. It's about telling others about Jesus. And while he was in that time frame, remember, he wrote the book of Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, listen to what Paul says. "My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." My goal is to know him. Now, when you've gone through some things in your life, if you've got some obstacles, some setbacks, some times of maybe even suffering, you can respond in one of two ways. Either you run from God or you run to God. There's something so beautiful and sweet about being in communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in those times, in those hardest times. And Paul, instead of looking at his circumstances and what we read in 2 Corinthians 11 and what we read even in this passage and throughout the book of Acts, and you're like, man, this guy's been beaten. You know, he's been shipwrecked. He's been in jail. He's been snake bitten. He's gone through all of it. And you would think at that point you could just live in despair for the rest of your life and live as a woe is me victim mentality, but Paul does not. Instead, he turns his eyes upon Jesus, and he's like, I want to know him. I want to know him deeper, more deeply, more fully, more richer than I ever have in my life. What obstacle in your life or what setback can you turn into an opportunity to know Jesus more fully? And maybe you're in a season like that right now. I just want to encourage you, don't block God out of your life. Don't just go through the motions. Really lean into him. There's something beautiful about being dependent upon the Lord, because we were created by God and we were created for God. That's why we were created here on this planet. That's our existence here, is to enjoy God and to glorify his name. And there's nothing greater than doing that and walking with him closely. There's obstacles, there's opportunities that abound every single day that are right before us. There's a story of a young woman years ago really inspired me in my walk with Jesus that I want to share with you. Back in 2006, there was a young woman by the name of Katie Davis, and she went on a trip to Uganda to be able to teach for a certain number of months kindergarten students out there. And while she was out there, she came from a very affluent household, had everything. But while she's out in Uganda, man, her eyes were opened like never before. She began to see preventable diseases that were leading to death of many people out there. She was seeing children malnourished, many different orphans that were without homes, without clothing, without food. And she began to take in especially these little orphaned girls and begin to care for them, clothe them, feed them, give them a place of shelter. And her heart was so moved by what she was reading in the scriptures and what she was seeing in Uganda and then thinking about her life back in the States, that she was only supposed to be there for a short time. She went back to the States, told her parents, I really believe that God is calling me to go back to Uganda. And they're like, well, no, you can't be serious. It's like, yeah, like this is like what I'm reading and taking care of the orphans. I got to go back out there. And so at the age of 18, she heads back to Uganda as she begins to continue to teach and to care for these little children. Her heart was so moved as she was caring for these orphans that she ends up within a few years adopting 14 girls from Uganda. 14 little girls. And she has stayed there ever since. 20 years later, still serving the people of Uganda with her girls that have now grown up, become teenagers, young adults. Now, you would say, man, if you were out there and you read the story of the book that she wrote, you would think there's just no way. All kinds of obstacles. She was super young. It's just like there's no way that you could provide for and care and feed for all these kids. And yet, God made a way. Why? Because we have an unstoppable God. We are not unstoppable, but we serve an unstoppable God. If you remember Jesus, when he died and was in the grave for 3 days, there was a rock, you know, that rolled over the entrance to the cave, and yet 3 days later it was rolled away, and what looked like like looked like it was over, looked like there was an ending point, looked like there was an obstacle. God was able to take that away because we serve an unstoppable God. Jesus rose from the grave and defeated the enemy, death, and the power of sin in our lives. And that's what we serve. We serve an unstoppable God. We are not unstoppable, but he is unstoppable. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the grave lives inside of you and me if you call yourselves a Christ follower. And so I just love stories like this. I love stories of just reading about like the Apostle Paul. And maybe many of you in this room have not allowed your circumstances to get the best of you, but trusting in a God who is able to break through any of those circumstances because you have an unshakable hope and an unstoppable God, and being able to turn that obstacle into an opportunity to further the kingdom of God here on this planet. So I want to encourage you today, whatever you're facing, understand it's not the end of the story. Just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We adore you. We thank you for how you work in our life through your word and through your spirit. Lord, help us to be spurred on today to live a life fully obedient to you, fully devoted to you, and trusting that you can take any kind of circumstance, any kind of obstacle, anything in our life and turn it into for our good and for your glory. And that you could spread this good news of you, Jesus, everywhere. We want to be used by you, Lord. Help us to be found faithful. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.